You know, I forgot I didn't do an intro to my show. I'm just thinking about it right now. But I'm going to do an intro right now from the airport. I want you all to tune in to the Dirty Soapbox. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you enjoy my show. Thank you. Somebody had the audacity to say I bash black people. Somebody had the audacity to say that I bash black people. And I just saw two videos of black people fighting in Popeye's chicken. Now they could be fighting over the new sandwiches. They could be fighting over the service. They could be fighting over each other. But they're fighting in Popeye's chicken, conveniently, when Popeye's chicken has this new sandwich. And conveniently, when Popeye's chicken is packed with people, black people, waiting for this new chicken sandwich. Someone had the audacity to say that I bash black people. You know, I'm gonna tell you the problem that black people have collectively. Black people have a collective problem. I'm gonna tell you what it is. Our collective problem is we are too emotional. Black people are too emotional. We are emotional because it's a response to trauma. We've experienced so much trauma that it's made us extra sensitive to everything. We are too emotional. And we are really, really too emotional because we don't know who we are. You see, when you know who you are, you can be at peace. When you know who you are, it's hard to be offended. When you know who you are, you can see life clear. We don't know who we are. And we've been traumatized. And as a result of that, we are too emotional. We're too emotional. You bring up anything that's an issue for black people, and we are going to emotionally respond. We're not going to think about anything. We are going to emotionally respond. I remember, and this I knew it was a problem. I remember when Kanye West said that slavery was a choice. Now, I will say he should expound on what he meant, but everybody that was at peace with who they are, everybody that knew who they were, weren't offended by what he said. They understood what he said. They could immediately put it in context. Slavery was a choice. Why do we say that? We say it because you could still choose death. So you have a choice. I didn't say it was the best choice. I didn't say you were going to like the choice. I simply said you still have a choice. Death is still a choice. So there were slaves that killed themselves. There were slaves that killed their masters. There were slaves that ran away. There were slaves that bought their freedom. There were slaves that freed other slaves. There were slaves that did all kinds of things. All kinds of things that involved a choice. Yet when Kanye said it, everybody got upset. I said, you all look at history. History proves to you that slaves exercised their choice. So to say that slavery itself wasn't a choice is historically inaccurate, because we have many examples of people, individuals, groups that chose not to be slaves. The Haitians overthrew the French to get their country or their island. So to say that slavery was not a choice is an historically inaccurate statement. But if you tell black people that, they get upset. And I'm like, why are we getting upset? I don't knock anybody for not wanting to die. I'm not diminishing what we went through. I'm not diminishing the struggle, any of that. I'm simply saying that slaves exercise their choice, which leads me to believe that it was a choice based on the historical evidence that we have. But what we do is we want to praise the heroes for making the choices, but then when someone says we actually had a choice, we want to condemn them for saying it. When Killmonger said, kill me, bury me in the sea with my ancestors, because they knew that death was better than slavery, all the black people stood up in the theater and cheered, clapped their hands and hooed and hoorahed and hollered and screamed. That's a choice. Somebody had the audacity to say that I bash black people. And I'm casting from the car. I'm casting right now from Sacramento, California. Macramento, if you're familiar. I'm casting from the car, y'all. I'm riding by the same spot, ironically, where they broke into my rental car and took my stuff from me. I'm riding past the same spot, the Touch of Class, right now, Stockton Boulevard. Some of y'all might be familiar with it. But somebody had the audacity to say, I bash black people. And I said, I don't bash black people. I said, black people are too emotional. Black people are too emotional. We'll study all this history, have all this knowledge of self, have all this understanding, and then when somebody says something, we go berserk. Like I said before, it's a response to trauma. But it's also, get to the core of it, it's not knowing who you are. And then if it is knowing who you are, it's not being at peace with who you are. Somebody had the audacity to say that I bash black people. And I said, as much as I uplift black people, as much as I try to tell black people the truth, bash? No, it's not bashing. It's not bashing. I just saw two videos of black people fighting in Popeye's Chicken conveniently at the release of this chicken sandwich. I just saw it. I saw it. It wasn't white people fighting. It wasn't Spanish and Latino people fighting. It wasn't Asians fighting. It was black people fighting in Popeye's. And if I say that's a problem, you all will get mad at me. But here's the cold part. If a white person says that behavior is unacceptable, we will go crazy because they said it. Even though it's the truth. Even though it's the truth, we'll go crazy because they said it. Too emotional. That's our problem. We want to qualify the truth with the person. And that's why we always get tricked. That's why the folks they put in positions of power above us always get us. Because we always qualify the truth with the person instead of letting the person's character speak for them. Instead of letting the truth be the truth. No matter who says it, we are too emotional. Somebody had the audacity to say that I bash black people. And my response is, maybe black people need to be bashed. Maybe we need it. Maybe we need to wake up. I say, let's love each other. It's not good enough. I say, let's support each other financially. That's not good enough. If I say, love yourself and love how God made you, it's not good enough. If I say we greatness in the flesh, it's not good enough. None of that stuff is good enough. The only thing that's respected is if I quote unquote bash black people. But guess what? Contrary to unpopular belief, I love my people. I love black people. But guess what? If I get deeper, I love all people. I'm just casting from the card. What's charity if it's not solution-based? I'll ask it again. What is charity if it's not solution-based? And by the way, I'm just casting in the car, headed to the Bay Area. We like to call it the Yay Area. Yay! But what is charity if it's not solution-based? All these celebrities are telling people what they do. And I'm like, but that charity you're doing is not solution-based. Think about it. You can feed the homeless forever. There will always be a homeless problem. You can clothe the naked forever. There will always be people that need clothes. But guess what? That same person will need clothes tomorrow. That same homeless person will need a home tomorrow. Like, this charity to me is just to say I'm doing something. It's not really rooted or based in any kind of solution. I've been in the trenches. I was spinning my wheels. I was trying to find solutions. Every time I came up with a solution, they got knocked down. I've been in the trenches. Every time I came up with a solution, it got knocked down. You know why? Because a solution would put people out of a job. All these people do is put a Band-Aid over a shotgun wound. Matter of fact, these celebrities put a Band-Aid over a missing limb. All this charity work folks been doing, and it's getting worse. How is it getting worse if all these people are doing so many things that are charitable? Somebody lying. What is charity if it's not solution-based? I had a friend of mine years ago. He did security. Well, security is like a bodyguard, kind of. And he was doing security for Puffy. And he said for that night, Puffy was paying him that night or those 2 days. I think it was that night, that day or whatever. He said Puffy was paying him $600. $600 now. So he guarding Puffy all day in Atlanta. At the end of the night, when they're about to head back to the hotel, after everything was done, Puffy sees a homeless guy. And the homeless guy asked for some money. Guess how much money he gave the homeless guy? Just guess. He gave the homeless guy $600. The same amount of money he gave the dude to protect his life, he gave to the homeless guy, $600. And the dude telling me the story, he's pissed. He said, I never, ever since then worked for Puffy again on no kind of security work. I said, I don't blame you. It was disrespectful. Now, many of you all listening now are saying, oh, that was such a great thing to do. It's BS. You're doing something to look good doing something, but there's no solution. How is $600 going to benefit a homeless man? Think about it. Other homeless people are going to try to rob him. He's not going to save the money. What's he going to do with the money? What is he going to do with the money? Is he on drugs? Will he spend it on drugs or alcohol? How is the $600 going to benefit the homeless person? 9.9 times out of 10, it doesn't. It doesn't. So you just gave the money to look good doing something. But a lot of these celebrities and people do this type of things to feel good. It's not helping the person. Like I said, I was in the trenches. And when I came up with solutions for things, they got shot down. Think about it. These people do charity, right? And again, I'm casting from the car, headed to the Yay area. Yee! These people do charity, right? How many of these celebrities that you all see actually empower people that are already doing it? How many celebrities actually empower people that are already doing it? Not hop on a wave that's already popular. Nah, I'm talking about put their money behind somebody that's already doing it. Who? That's all I ask. I'm not saying they don't. I'm asking you who. Because every time they tell me what they're doing, I don't hear those stories. Why are we not investing in people that are already doing it? Why are we not investing in people that are already doing it? It doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because it's not rooted in character. These people are doing things to say they're doing things. It's a tax write-off. It's a way to look good. It's a way to feel good. You're not offering solutions. No different than these white celebrities stepping over a black kid in America to go adopt a kid from Africa. Listen, the kid in Africa is struggling and the black kid in America is struggling, but they'd rather go to Africa because it looks better. All these people pouring their resources into Africa to help Africa, and Africa's still struggling. How? You know why? Because it's easier to help a village get some water than it is to help these black kids get a college education. It's an easier task. You can go to Africa right now and donate some shoes, and you a hero. You can go to Africa right now and get some food, and you a hero. How many of y'all giving books to these black kids in the inner city? None. Giving clothes to the black kids in the inner city? None. These folks are stepping over black kids here in America to help black kids in Africa. You know why? Because it looks better. There's a stigma about Africa. They need it. They're primitive. They don't understand what's going on. They're just poor. All the narrative they get about Africa. And Africa is very progressive. It's a myth how they display Africa to America. It's ridiculous propaganda. But when it comes to black kids, the narrative is different. Black kids just don't want to do better. Black kids don't want it. They want to waste money. They want video games. They want shoes. They're not serious about education. They're not serious about life. It's fake. It's not real. What is charity if it doesn't offer a solution? If charity doesn't offer a solution, it's a con. It's a setup. It's a gimmick. That's not real. Somebody told me something powerful. Somebody said, "You really want to help black people? How about any student that has a bachelor's and a mortgage, you pay off their student loans? And then if they have a postgraduate degree, you pay off their student loans and you pay off any debt they have, aside from the mortgage." You see what I'm saying? Those are real solutions. That guy that donated to Morehouse, and I can't think of his name, I'm sorry you all, can't think of his name, but the guy that paid those student loans off, that was powerful. Y'all know how powerful that was? This guy let these kids get out of college debt free. That's charity. Letting these kids get out of college debt free, that's charity. What these people are doing is not charity. It's a way to look good. I'ma put a Band-Aid over your leg missing. Come on, man. What is charity without a solution? That's all I'm asking. I'm not minimizing what people are doing. I'm simply saying I've been in the trenches. I've done it all. I've donated time, money, blood, sweat, all of it. I did it. And it wasn't solution-based. At the end of the day, most of the folks I help are still in the same situation. Because it's not solution-based. It's not. It's a way to look good. It's a way to feel good. I was actually trying to help. I was actually thinking if I do this, it's going to make a difference. Just to find out that it doesn't. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't. You're putting a Band-Aid over a shotgun wound. We say the quote all the time. We say, teach a person. You say, give a person a fish, they'll eat for a day. Teach them how to fish, they'll eat forever. How many of these celebrities are teaching people how to fish? How many students do they have? These celebrities, where are their students? Where are their proteges? Where are the mini-me's running around? Where are the people that they say, you know what? I'm a mentor, this person, and this person. That's what I did. That's what I was doing. I was picking kids. And guess what? I picked half bad kids and half good kids. Because guess what? The good kids need it too. The folks actually doing it need assistance too. What is charity if it doesn't offer a solution? I'm back casting from the car, headed to the 101 freeway going south. I'm back in LA. But I wanted to talk about this whole opioid versus crack debate and how the government is handling the opioid addiction and how the government handled crack. You know, basically, when it came to crack, they just locked black people up. And when it's coming to opioids, they're giving white people treatment. They're saying it's a medical condition. But I was thinking about something, though. I thought about drug dealers, and I thought about black drug dealers, and I thought about black drug dealers that contributed to the demise of our people by selling drugs to our people. And I thought about, how can a drug dealer redeem themselves? Many of you all will say, well, a drug dealer can redeem themselves by doing good, you know, by stop selling drugs and then start doing good. Not really. If you make it to the top, you get to where you want to be in life, and you look behind you and it's a trail of dead bodies, how do you rectify that? How do you rectify lives being destroyed? How do you rectify families being destroyed? It would be different if these drug dealers, or quote-unquote drug dealers that got out of the game, if they literally donated everything they had to our people. If they literally gave everything they had to our people, but they don't. They give what they want to give back to our people and then act like they're doing something good, and they're really not. It's actually not doing anything at all. You cannot make up for all the lives you destroy. We give a lot of credit to people doing what they're supposed to do. You're not supposed to sell drugs, and you are supposed to do the right thing. So I'm not giving a person that sold drugs for years, became successful, turned legit, and then telling me they're working for our people. I'm not going for it. I'm not. It's ridiculous. You're not working for our people. You turned legit. That's nothing. You shouldn't have been selling drugs in the first place. But yet we give these people credit. They make it to the top in these positions, but you look behind them and it's a trail of dead bodies. It's a trail of families ruined. It's a trail of legacies lost. How do you rectify that? How can a drug dealer redeem themselves? I'm asking a serious question. There are many drug dealers right now who disagree with me, and there are many probably people who disagree with me. But what I'm saying is, if you sold dope and you're legit now, how much of your legit resources are you pouring back into the community? Because technically you should be giving 100% back to the community, because the damage you cause really can't be fixed. You see, what we do is we give people credit for stuff, but we forget how they got there. If you start out bad, it's going to end bad. I don't care what nobody tells you. If you start out bad, it's going to end bad. You got to make a choice once you start out bad to change the course of action. But if you start out bad, it's going to end bad. I just think that we got to really start evaluating who we're giving credit to. we got to really start paying attention to who we are endorsing. Actually look at these people and actually look at what they did for what it is. These drug dealers are not devoting the majority of their resources back into the community. They're not. These drug dealers are not devoting the majority of their resources back into the community. These people are helping out on how they feel help is needed. They're not giving all. But when it came to selling drugs, they gave their all. They gave 110% when it came to selling dope. But when it comes to us, they're giving what they want to give. I look at things not for what people think it is. I look for things for actually what it is. There is no way to repair the damage done by selling dope, especially to your people. You know how many drug dealers then sold dope to their mama? You know how many drug dealers have sold dope to their sisters? You know how many drug dealers have sold dope to family members? You know how many drug dealers have left a path of destruction behind them? Do you understand what I'm telling you all? Do you understand how what they're doing and what's been done contributed to the overall greater problem amongst our community? And now after all that, you want to get them out of prison? You want to get them out of prison? Get them out of prison to do what? Because they can't pay back the debt. They can't pay back the debt. So get them out of prison to do what? That's my question. We keep giving credit to folks that don't really deserve credit. They don't deserve credit. You sold dope to your own people. You literally working with the enemy and profited off of it. Made money off of it. Got rich off of it. Come on, man. We can't be serious. Many drug dealers don't agree with me. Many of you all don't agree with me. But how can a drug dealer repay society? How? Without giving up 110% of what they acquired by selling dope. You understand what I'm saying? Selling dope got them in a certain position in life. With that position, what are they going to do for the people they literally destroyed? How can a drug dealer redeem themselves? I ask these questions. It's not personal. I ask these questions, and it's not personal, but I ask these questions to get us to think. How can a drug dealer redeem themselves? They can't. So anytime you see somebody that once sold dope, I guarantee if you look at them now, they are not devoting their lives to black people. Look at the people that was really selling dope and were successful at it. And look at them now, and I guarantee they are not devoting their lives to helping black people. They're not. If you really felt compelled and you really felt compassion, everything you got from selling dope, you would at least give that back to the people somehow. Everything you acquired selling dope, you would at least give that back to the people somehow. You'd at least give back to the people somehow. But you don't, because it just sounds good to say. It sounds good to say, oh, I went legit, did this and did that. It's not an inspirational story for me. You shouldn't have been selling dope. And then doing good, what you're supposed to do. I cannot give a drug dealer credit in any situation, because you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. I don't want to hear the tragic ghetto tales of what you had to do to feed your family and all this stuff. Most black people are born into poverty. Most black people are struggling. Don't give it to me. Most of us are faced with the same thing. I grew up in this inner city. I grew up in a lower income area. I grew up in the quote unquote hood, all that. So I don't want to hear the stories and why you had to do it. You didn't have to do it, because most of us are born into poverty, and most of us don't sell dope. How can a drug dealer redeem themselves? They can't. So the next time you see a drug dealer, I want you to ask them, how much of what you made did you give back to the people? How much of what you've gotten off of the blood of your people did you actually give back? Ask them that question and see what they say. I guarantee it's little to none. How can a drug dealer redeem themselves? I will tell you, they can't. I just want to thank you all for tuning in to the Dirty Soapbox. I'm casting from LAX. I'm heading back to Atlanta. I just want to thank you all for tuning in and supporting the Dirty Soapbox, where my soapbox might be dirty, but my kicks are clean. Thank you.